Now, Brother Kevin Dombrowski from the Laurier Heights congregation will consider a second principal way in which we carry out our ministry as he discusses the kingdom good news has to be preached first, informally.
Please turn to Psalm 45, and let us read and then consider the three parts of this verse. Psalm 45, and we'll start with verse 1. Psalm 45, 1. It says, and let us read and then consider the three parts of this verse. Psalm 45, and we'll start with verse 1. Psalm 45, 1. It says, my heart is stirred by something good. I say, my song is about a king. May my tongue be the stylus of a skilled copyist. So the psalmist's heart was stirred. So what does that mean? Well, the Hebrew word for is stirred signifies excited motion, like bubbling, boiling water. So the psalmist's heart was stirred, or it was excited by something. And what was this something that excited the psalmist? Well, in that verse, it mentioned about a particular future event, the establishment of a king. Yes, the messianic kingdom. And so today, the message we proclaim about the established kingdom is so good that Jesus promised it had to be preached first in all the inhabited earth before the end comes. So are not our hearts likewise stirred because God's kingdom now rules? And so whatever stirs our hearts shows up in our speech. And so we should be eager to talk about the kingdom to all that we meet in informal settings. And so this will include with schoolmates, teachers, workmates, neighbors, relatives, and others. The psalmist in verse 1 wished that his tongue was as skillful and eloquent as a pen that is used by a skilled copyist. And so we too want to use our tongue skillfully as we witness to others. So this includes talking about something good, keeping our message positive, talking about the best news of all, which revolves around the kingdom. So now let's look at a situation where we may have an opportunity to say something good. And our sister in this scenario is sitting next to another passenger on the Edmonton public on the Red Deer public transit.
I'm so glad I was able to come aboard.
It looks like every seat is taken. I see you have a lot of luggage.
Well, I am going on an extended trip.
We'll hope it goes well for you.
Well, you know, this seems to have been sort of a missed opportunity. And what was missing? Well, there was no attempt here to make a witness. And so it's true that some of us may feel uncomfortable about preaching on public transportation. We may prefer not to disturb others, or maybe we don't want to have a confrontation. But if our heart is truly stirred by the good news, is it not reasonable that we'd want to say and express something good? Now, if she could do it all over again, stirred to share something, it might go more like this.
I'm so glad I was able to get aboard.
It looks like every seat is taken. By the way, my name is Alicia, and yours?
It's nice to meet you. I'm Erica.
Are you starting on a trip or returning home?
Well, unfortunately, I'm going to a relative's funeral.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. My heart goes out to you. It really is hard to lose a loved one in death, isn't it?
It is. Thank you for your sympathy.
There's a Bible passage that brings me much comfort during a time like this. Do you mind if I share it with you?
Not at all.
It's Revelation 21, 3 and 4. With that, I heard a loud voice from the throne say, look, the tent of God is with mankind, and he will reside with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will wipe out every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither will mourning, nor outcry, nor pain be any more. The former things have passed away. Isn't that appealing?
It is. I'm sure life in heaven will be wonderful.
Well, those who go to heaven will experience similar blessings, but this is actually talking about future life here on earth. Look again at verse 4. What does it say happens to death?
It will be no more.
Exactly. But has there ever been death in heaven? Or is it only on earth that people die?
I'll have to think about that.
You see, the Bible teaches that some good people will go to heaven, but many more good people will live forever here on earth. They will no longer experience tears, mourning, pain, or death.
No, I have never heard that at my church.
Several scriptures describe what life in the future on earth will be like. For example, this one at Psalms 37, 10, and 11. Just a little while longer, and the wicked will be no more. You will look at where they were, and they will not be there. But the meek will possess the earth, and they will find exquisite delight in the abundance of peace. But for how long will such good ones remain on earth? Verse 29 answers. Would you like to read that?
It says, the righteous will possess the earth, and they will live forever on it. Well, that's really interesting.
I have a very nice brochure here entitled Good News from God. It goes into more detail about this subject and answers questions that come to mind when a loved one dies. For example, notice these questions on the back cover. What is God's purpose for the earth? What hope is there for the dead? Would you like to read this on your trip?
I would. Thank you.
Here's my number in case you have any questions. At what number can you be reached?
So that was a much better, more effective and productive conversation. So she kept her message positive. She talked about something good, the best news of all, the blessings of the kingdom. So is that something that we can do? We can as well plan to give a witness whenever appropriate. You know, one time this may have been called incidental witnessing, but that sounded too close to accidental witnessing. But we call it now informal witnessing, because informal witnessing does not just happen by accident. It's intentional. There's some forethought. There's some planning. There's an initiative put behind it. And yet we're all different, so there are many techniques that can be used to start conversations. And so we want to use what works with us. For example, what can people say to start conversations and to stimulate interest in our message? Well, did you have your hair done before the convention? Well, who didn't? And that could be an opportunity, because one sister, for example, was having her hair done, and the hairdresser asked if she would like to have her gray hair tinted. Well, the sister said, soon I won't have to worry about that. And so the hairdresser asked what she meant, and the sister explained the Bible's promise at Job chapter 35, verse 25, 33, verse 25, and gave an excellent witness. And so this was possible because she gave it forethought and looked for an opening to a conversation. So, good for her. She had a good hair day. Now, when in his 90s, one brother used to tell people that he had lived in two worlds. One because he was born, first of all, before 1914, and another because he lived after 1914. And so that was his way of getting into a discussion about the establishment of God's kingdom. So we can use an approach that is unique to our personality and circumstances. So whether we're older or younger, male or female, the important thing is to preach during this convention or as return home, especially if we can make use of our new kingdom tract. So now how can we do this? Well, we'd like to give you an example. Our next scenario is very practical. Are you going back to work, for example, on Monday? Well, what can we say to those that we work with? Well, here's a brother talking to a fellow worker on their coffee break.
Hey, man, I noticed you weren't at work last Friday.
That's right. Well, you know I'm one of Jehovah's Witnesses. I took last Friday off to attend our annual convention.
Oh, yeah? How was that?
Oh, the convention was fantastic. Its theme was Keep Seeking First God's Kingdom. You're no doubt familiar with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
In earth as it is in heaven, that's right. Well, that's the kingdom that our convention program was all about. And here, I brought you a souvenir from the convention. This little tract, it asks a very important question. What is the kingdom of God? Some would say that it's something in your heart. Others would say it's a figure of speech. And still others believe it's an actual government in heaven. What do you think?
I just always thought it was something in our heart.
Well, if you turn the page over, notice what the Bible says. It says, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And a son has been given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulder. So the Bible teaches that God's kingdom is a heavenly government set up by God with his son Christ Jesus as its king. But what does that mean for us? Well, you'll notice the bottom of the page discusses that. Maybe we can talk about that at our next break.
Sure, thanks.
Wasn't that good? He said, I attended our annual convention, and I brought you a souvenir. Two nice lines that we can try when we return to work or meet someone. So talking to someone on the bus, as we saw today, or talking to a fellow workmate, these approaches may be slightly out of our comfort zone, but we can do it. We may try this. It's something new. And do you remember how perhaps you felt the first time you went out in the house-to-house work? You may have felt a little uneasy. But after trying it out, we find that, yes, we become more comfortable with it. And so with practice, engaging people in informal conversations may be very productive. So just think, this in time may be your favorite way to witness as your heart is stirred, resulting in good speech about the King and his kingdom.